Everybody here knows what a cliche is. You know, we probably use them every day, maybe not even realize that we're doing it. Tonight, I want to talk about cliches. And the title of the lesson is actually Cliches for a New Year. And you know, this when you think about that, you may think about a commercial, like maybe for a fitness club or a hair salon or a skin cream company that's trying to sell you something so they'll make it look just as appealing as it possibly can. And so they'll use these cliches to get your attention. And that's what I want to do tonight. I want to get your attention with cliches. It's all about decision making. And as Christians, we have decisions to make every day of our lives. And I want to start by asking you this question as we begin our new year together. Are you satisfied with yourself today? Are you happy with the way you are in your life today? As we begin the brand new year, can you think of things that you wish you had done differently, that you wish you could do over again? Can you think of things that would make your life a little better than it was the previous year? I think at the beginning of the year particularly, we look at ourselves and we think about these improvements that we can make, and we do this thing we call making resolutions. And we're putting determination within ourselves that we're going to make some changes and we're going to make some improvements about ourselves. Sometimes we'll even make a list, we'll write down what it is we want to do, or we will tell someone who we think that would encourage us along this journey as we try to make these changes that we think that we need to make. So tonight what I want to do is offer some common cliches that will help us understand the importance of our Christianity and maybe help push us a little harder as we strive to serve God in our lives. Here is the first one. For this year, let's put our hand to the plow. Now, this is one we've all heard, haven't we? It goes all the way back to the Bible times, at least. Probably goes back before these verses were ever written within the Bible. You know, the Christian life is compared to many things. The Hebrew writer compares it to running in a race. Paul compared it to winning a fight or sailing the seas. And Jesus compared it to plowing a field. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, Jesus said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Because if you look back while going forward, what usually happens? You start growing crooked. You can't keep a straight line seeing where you've been. You've always need to go forward to see where you're going. You know, I learned this when I was in high school, when I turned 15, got my learner's permit, and got behind the wheel of the car, and the driver instructor at the school, and he said, "Now, Farron, the first thing you need to learn is high drive." High drive, what's that? You see, what I was told by my daddy was there's an ornament in the middle of the front of your car. Y'all know the old cars had ornaments in the front. You look at that ornament, and when that ornament is at the side of the road in your ride vision, you're all right, you're in the middle. That's not true. The teacher said you need to use what is called high drive. You need to look ahead, see the whole picture, frame your center vision, and drive accordingly. And you know that worked every time. We need to learn how to look forward. We don't need to learn over here. And my wife will tell you, if I see something over here to the left and my head turns left, guess what that wheel does? I do it every time. I don't do it on purpose. It just works out that way. We got to keep focused in the direction that we are going and not look back. As Jesus said, if you look back, man, you're not fit for the kingdom of God because you're not going in the right direction. Farmer who looks back will have crooked rows. The Christian who looks back, his life may not be going forward in the right direction. You know, Lot's wife is a good example of this. You know, in her plot to get away from the destruction of Sodom, she looked back, and we know what happened to her. So this year, let's keep our eyes focused. Every one of us, we're focused on pearly gates, because that's where we walk into heaven when this life is over. So we focus our attention on pearly gates. We don't need to look at the walls of jasper that are over here. We don't need to look at the gates of pearl that are over here. We're looking for one particular set of pearly gates. That's where we go in. That's where we need to focus. And as Christians, we need to be sure that we are focused in the right direction so that we can complete our journey. So don't look back. Number two, this year, let's put our nose to the grindstone. You know, we usually think of this phrase when we're about to tackle something that we really dread. And we've all been there. We've all had to tackle things that we really wish we didn't have to do. So we're going to have to really concentrate on it. We're going to have to really meditate on what we're trying to accomplish and how to accomplish it. There is something that we have been putting off that we know we need to do, and we're just simply going to have to put our nose to the grindstone and do it. There may be some here tonight who are not Christians, and you understand the need to become a child of God. You need to put your nose to the grindstone and do it, and not put it off. Perhaps you are a Christian, and there is something in your life that has separated you and God, and you have put off and put off making that confession of wrong so that you can come back to the Lord in the right way. It's time to put your nose to the grindstone. It's a dreaded task. Yes, it is. Do it. Get it over with. Complete the task. Solomon said in Proverbs 6 and verse 3, "My son, so do this and deliver yourself. For you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself and plead with your friend." What is causing the problem? What is separating you from God? Fix it. Even if it is difficult, even if it is hard, fix it. So let's put our nose to the grindstone and let's get right with God and get right with other people. Next, let's put our ears to the ground. Now, we use this phrase when we're listening for feedback from those around us. It comes from a practice of the Indians who, in their day, they would put their ear to the ground to listening to the stampede of horses and buffaloes that they were dealing with. They could hear them coming before they could even see them. You know, it's always wise for us to give advice to those that we love and to help them along their way. But sometimes we have to listen. We need to put our ears to the ground and understand. Have you ever tried to explain something that you did not understand? I have done that. If we're going to give instruction, we need to understand it. Who we're talking to, what we're talking about, and the best way to do it. You know, Jesus talked about those who were dull of hearing. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15, he said, For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears, they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see it with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn so that I can heal them. We need to listen, folks. We need to listen to our God. We need to listen to His Word. We need to listen to one another, and then we can help one another. Put our ear to the ground. And then we need to do this. Let's put our mind in gear. You ever had your mouth go into motion before your mind went into gear? Boy, I've done that a time or two. I see some heads doing this. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, if you had a daydreaming employee or a student under you, you might tell this person, get your mind in gear. Or put your head on straight. Concentrate on what the task is, what lies before you. Young Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28 was told to serve God with a willing mind. I do hope that all of us that are here tonight have a willing mind. We are willing to be here. We are willing to listen to God's word. We are willing to comply with God's word. God says that we must renew our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the word renew comes from the Greek word anekenois, which literally means to renovate. In other words, you're going to redo yourself. And the reason we need to redo ourselves is because we can become faint. We can become relaxed in our duties. We can lose the focus that we need to have in our lives as Christians. You know, it may be that we're going through the motions of our worship. Sometimes we need to renew ourselves with our worship to God. Put our mind into it. Put our everything that we have into our worship. Our mind needs to go in gear. We need to get serious about worshiping our God, about serving our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. So we need to put our mind in gear. But that's not all. This year we also need to put our shoulder to the wheel. We've heard this one before too, haven't we? You know, if something is small, we might be able to reach out with our hand and just simply move it, fix it. It's small, it's light. If we find something a little heavier, we may find we need to use the whole strength of our arm to lift something or to move something or to correct something that is wrong. But if it's heavy, we may find that we have to put our whole shoulder into it. Sometimes the wrist won't be enough, the arm won't be enough, and we have to use our whole body. So we shoulder this object and we push with all of our might to move or to correct something that needs changing. You know, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind." It's more than just this or this. We have to put everything that we have into our Christianity. If we're pushing in one direction, we may have to use everything, every ounce of energy that we have to reach that goal. And that means you're going to have to put your shoulder to it. Because where the shoulder goes, the rest of the body will follow. And it takes diligence. And Peter said, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. Do it now. Do it with all speed. Do it with all eagerness. Put your shoulder to the wheel. Bear the brunt. Use all of your strength to put God in your lives. And then we need to put our back to the wall. You know, when we have our back to the wall, usually means that we are in a grave situation. And as Christians, we need to appreciate gravity that we face in life. It usually means when our back is against the wall, it usually means we're going to have to fight our way out. As Christians, we're going to find ourselves fighting all the time. Fighting against worldliness, fighting against sin, fighting against Satan himself. And it may be to the point that we need to, with our back against the wall, that wall will give us the support that we need that will actually push us forward. We need that extra strength. Where we are in a no-holds-barred, winner-take-all fight every day of our lives against the sins of this world. We're not playing games. We're not firing blanks. We're fighting a horrible foe. Sometimes our back may be against the wall, and we've got to come out fighting. You know, nobody gets out of this world alive physically unless Jesus comes. And the sad fact is, very few of us will get out alive spiritually. Jesus has said, "Enter by the narrow gate, For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. How many is going to be in heaven? I don't know. How many is going to be in hell? I don't know. I know that more will be in hell than in heaven because of this verse right here. The last time that God destroyed this earth, 8 souls were saved. Millions were lost. It may be a ratio like that. I don't know. That's why I have to work as hard as I can to be sure that I am going in the right way. That when my back gets up against the wall, that I'm ready to fight sin. I'm ready to fight the devil. And I have to do that so I can be one of those few. And this year, let's put our feet to the fire. A man's whose feet are held to the fire, they're enthusiastic about what they're doing. When a person's feet is in the fire or put to the fire, that makes them responsible for their actions. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it is good or bad." God likes for us to be enthusiastic about our Christianity. Remember Phinehas in Numbers 25, who was given the covenant of peace because he was zealous for his God? Remember Dorcas from Acts chapter 9, who was loved because she was so full of good works? You see, God redeemed us, God purified us, that we might be a peculiar people zealous for good works, according to Paul in Titus chapter 2. We are His workmanship, Paul said. We are created in Christ for good works. We need to put our feet to the fire. We need to get enthusiastic about our Christianity. It will help us move forward. It'll help us do all these other things that we have talked about that we need to do as Christians. And then finally, there's one other thing. This one is only found in Scripture. Keep your eyes on the prize. If one has his eyes on the prize, he has the object of his heart in sight. I do hope that every one of us in this room have our eyes on the object of our heart. Our heart's eyes should be on God and upon service to Him. You see, we should be the apple of His eye. He wants nothing more. And beware, He will accept nothing less. Paul had his eyes on the right prize, the prize of heaven. And he tells us in Philippians chapter 3, he said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Our eyes must stay on the prize so that we can get there and see it and hold it in our hands. Do you need a cliche to help you with your Christianity? If you do, allow one of these to push you forward, to move you in the right direction, to help you get the job done, so that we can indeed have that prize. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, there is no better time to give your life to the Lord. And you can do it tonight. If you're a straying Christian, there is no better time to come back to your first love. And we will gladly help you do that tonight. Keep your eyes on the prize. Do all of these other things to help you achieve that goal in your life. You need to respond tonight. Please come while we stand and sing.